What's up, everybody? It's John Bush from Armored Saints sitting here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You are on the road to rock.
Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin, the lead singer for the band Mr. Big, and you are on the road to rock with Clint Switzer.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, Clint Switzer.
A new Crazy Licks album? Well, you know, it's time to get back on the road to rock. Clint Switzer here. So great to be with you. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because the Chiefs just won their third Super Bowl in five seasons. Maybe it's because the weather is 70 degrees outside right now of my home studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. Maybe it's because one of my favorite bands, Crazy Licks, has just released a new album, a compilation with a cover song and a couple of new songs as well. With all these facts, it's hard not to just wake up with a smile on your face, and it's great to be back here on the road to rock. I know it's been a bit of a slow start to 2024. I was out in Vegas covering Super Bowl 58, where the Kansas City Chiefs took down the San Francisco 49ers to claim its third title in 5 years. It's second in a row, back-to-back for Mahomes and Kelce. This year started with such a crazy Chiefs playoff run that it has been very difficult to find the time to record and get new episodes of On the Road to Rock, but here we are. We are on February the 23rd, and I'm getting ready to head tonight to Wichita to see one of my favorite bands, Mr. Big, perform. My good friends, Eric Martin, Billy Sheehan, and of course, Paul Gilbert, one of the great and unheralded, you know, rock bands, are getting a proper farewell, and that is tremendous. So heading out to do that tonight. It's been a crazy start to 2024. Like I said, apologies for the lack of new episodes. That is going to change. We are here, and your money stays in place with us. So like I said, new Crazy Licks album, one of my favorite bands from Sweden. Danny Rexon is on this very show, the singer and sort of the visionary behind Crazy Licks, which is an unabashed sort of celebration and homage to 80s metal and 80s pop culture. That's why Crazy Licks has emerged as one of my favorite bands. They do it the right way. They do it in such a melodic and crunchy nature. Everything they've done since 2017, starting with the album Rough Justice, then in 19 they did Forever Wild, in 21 it was Street Lethal, and now it is Two Shots at Glory, which is sort of an homage to Young Guns, and it's got a tremendous cover of the unreleased Kiss song Sword and Stone, in addition to a re-release of some tracks like Lights Out, In the Night, Riot Avenue, Church of Rock, Sympathy, and then new songs, Two Shots at Glory and Invincible. Crazy Licks is back, and your Swedish heroes are here to bring you American melodic hard rock the way you remembered it, the way you love it. So go to crazylicks.com where you can get merch from the album. You can check out the tour dates. They're going to be on Monsters of Rock Cruise here coming up in early March. Crazy Licks, we're going to talk to Danny about, is this band ever going to make it to America? We know visas and work visas and releases are always an issue as far as getting here and doing a tour if you're a band from Eastern Europe. So we hope, we pray that it happens at some point. I can't recommend this band enough. Go back and check out their entire catalog. But Two Shots at Glory is a great way for you to get caught up on the band's past and their present. And according to Danny, there's a new studio album on the way, maybe even this year. You love to hear it. You love to see it. Crazy Licks, I can't give them, you know, enough praise. So without further ado, it's time to take you to this week's interview. It is with none other than Crazy Licks frontman, Danny Rexon. Welcome to On the Road to Rock, Danny Rexon, singer from, well, I just got to be honest, my favorite band, Crazy Licks. How's it going, Danny?
Thanks. It's great. It's great. A few days after the release of our last album and we've had some great response on it, so feeling good and preparing, of course, for the oncoming tour. We'll be leaving in about 10 days, so it's coming up real quick.
Yeah, you guys are doing the Monsters of Rock Cruise to kind of kick things off. How fun is that? I've seen some of your performances from previous years. Always looks like a blast when Crazy Licks is up on the main deck there on the Monsters of Rock Cruise.
Yeah, the cruise is great. This will be my third year in a row. Actually, I didn't perform last year. I was there with Chess Kane, but we'll be performing this year. So two shows, and then afterwards we're going on a South America tour. So it's going to be quite a long run for us. We'll be back, I think, March 20th or something like that. So, but yeah, great way to kick it off with the Monsters of Rock. Always a nice time there.
Well, let's talk about the new album. I mean, you talk about, you know, Crazy Licks fans, you guys kind of have a pattern. It's usually every 2 years, a new Crazy Licks album. So this year, kind of the 2 years rolls around, people are like, well, what's going on? Then you announced this album, which is going to be kind of a compilation, and also with the release of some new songs as well. So tell us about this new album, Two Shots at Glory. It seems to me like you guys have kind of entered your, shall we say, Young Guns, Bon Jovi, Blaze of Glory phase?
Well, yeah, image-wise, you're correct. But this is like just a one-off thing. We're not adapting that look on stage or anything like that. I think the idea of the look came from the album title. So when we were starting to talk about this album, it being like an album to kind of give some songs a second chance, some songs that we feel have been neglected due to different reasons. So it was, you know, it was a play on words on the popular saying, one shot at glory, that you only got one chance to make it, you know. So we wanted to give them a second chance. And the idea for Two Shots at Glory came up. And then I just thought that sounded totally like a Western movie. So we wanted to go with that style. And as you say, it's totally influenced by the Young Guns 2, you know, movie poster and the cover for the Jon Bon Jovi solo album, which is one of my favorite albums as well. So we kind of all went with that. And I think it's a cool vibe, but it's not like you can't really hear it in the sound of the album or anything like that. It was just like a one-off image thing.
Yeah, you're right. And I think that to pair some of the, like you said, the neglected songs from the past, and to kind of give them a refresh and a re-release for maybe a new audience, and then to put in these new songs. And we've got to talk about Sword and Stone, because I think it's an instant classic. And I know a lot of people that are Kiss fans that always wanted to hear this album. We had Desmond Child here on the show like about a month ago. And I was just like, how is that awesome song not on Crazy Nights? But Now people are looking at this Crazy Licks version as like the definitive version of Sword and Stone. Talk about that song, why this song was important for you to include here on the album.
Actually, the reason it came on the album was kind of a fluke, because we recorded it as a sort of test of a new studio setup. So we didn't have any new material at that time. This was a couple of years ago. So we decided to do two cover songs, actually. And then the drum recordings for that and the guitars and the bass were just lying in a drawer somewhere. So when we started to compile songs for this, for this album, we figured it would be cool to have a cover. Suddenly it hit us that we had these old recordings. And as you say, I mean, I've always been a bit disappointed about the fact that it didn't make the album, and it didn't make the album afterwards. And there's more songs like that. You got Time Traveler, for example.
Yeah.
Same thing. So I thought it was always like a big mistake to not include it. Of course, I'm aware of the Bonfire version.
Right.
And there's this, the guy from Loverboy, I believe, who did a version as well. So there are versions recorded of this song. But I think that for a lot of the new audience, they're not aware of that, especially, you know, Bonfire being a mostly a European-based band. Maybe not a lot of American fans actually know of the recording at all. So. So we got a lot of good feedback on that, and I'm happy that people, you know, seem to find it like the best song on the album. So came out real cool.
Yeah, it did. And you know, talk about the video for it. You guys have been kind of experimenting and doing a lot of videos, like UST videos that sort of pay homage to 80s movies. I'm a big 80s fan. You and I seem like we're kind of the same person in a lot of ways, but for that one, you used the clips from Excalibur. So just talk about kind of making those connections with a lot of your songs, because a lot of it is extremely natural, like Silent Thunder. It's Top Gun to a T. In fact, I thought that song should have been used on the Top Gun Maverick soundtrack, a whole topic for another day. But yeah, the videos, how important that those have become, and Sword and Stone, Excalibur, it's a good fit.
Yeah. I mean, I think I started out with this roughly a year ago, and it started out slow, but then we got a viral kind of hit with the aerobics video for She's Wearing Yesterday's Face. And this was all for like old songs. So
right,
I kind of wanted to give, you know, because I come from a point where I think that a lot of people are like me. So if I like something, like, for example, I like, you know, 80s rock music and I like 80s movies. And I kind of figure, okay, so I can't be unique in this aspect by any means. There has to be other people like me, you know. So I kind of paired those together. And you know, for me, it's always been a clear connection between rock music and movies. But that isn't the case anymore. So I kind of had to resort to old stuff to get the, you know, to get the vibe of the videos to kind of go with the vibe with our music, because we are a retro metal band after all. So I can reimagine what it would be like to have our songs as the soundtrack for these old movies. So what I found is that, you know, it attracts a lot of people that maybe haven't heard of the band but are fans of the movies. They find it on YouTube, and that's a way for them to, you know, get into the music as well. And in a lot of cases, they make the same connections as I did and you know, tell the same stories. Oh, we've missed this stuff, you know, growing up with these movies and rock music. Why isn't it around anymore in movies, you know? So yeah, I put in a lot of effort to kind of find good fitting movies. I've watched, you know, during this last year, I've watched tons of 80s and 90s movies. Not all of them good, but some of them still, I would say that, for example, for the aerobicide video, which is where I took the aerobics clips. Overall, that's not a good movie by any means, but there are, you know, certain charming clips in it that you can use for, you know, combining them to a music video of 5 minutes. That's still okay. So, oh, it's been a great, you know, dive into some classics that I've, you know, enjoyed since I was a kid, but also some new stuff that I have watched before, but they still have that, you know, 80s, 90s vibe to them, which I love. So,
well, I think that you've hit on kind of a chord for me personally, because I owe, and you see it right back there, the Alice, yeah, Cooper, He's Back, Man Behind the Mask, that I kind of pinpoint that because we're about the same age. I just turned 40. That seeing that movie, Jason Lives, seeing the Alice Cooper soundtrack in it, I don't know what, but somehow as a very young kid, that connected with me, and like that paved my path for, yeah, hard rock music, for the pop culture of the time, and it still kind of exists for me today. So I assume that's kind of the same for you. That, do you remember a moment like that where kind of those two things converged for you?
I mean, there's tons of stuff. I remember I was a big Guns N' Roses fan when I was growing up. I think they, you know, in a sense that it's a band that hasn't, I think, aged very well, but the old stuff I still, you know, have a very close connection to. And I remember seeing Terminator 2 when it came out, and I actually saw the music video for it before I got to see the movie. So that was kind of a, you know, when you saw the movie, the music video for You Could Be Mine, and you kind of got these glimpses from the movie. It was like a second trailer almost, because you had clips from there that you couldn't see in the trailer or anything. You were waiting for this movie to come out. So you know, there's so much stuff that I can think of from when I was growing up that you had like a, you know, really close connection to a movie, and it was either a band that you already loved and you kind of got it confirmed that, yeah, this movie's going to be great, they featured this band, or actually the other way around, it was a movie that you loved and it was like Rat, for example, was that thing for me when I saw The Golden Child, and they had a scene where they fight like a biker gang, him and his Asian girlfriend, and there was a song in the background. I had to stick around for the end credits to see. I didn't remember the title or anything. I just remember looking up every band in the soundtrack lineup, and finally found out it was Body Talk by Rat, which was how I got into that band, you know. So yeah, I can think of tons of stories like that. It's always been a very, you know, close connection for me, movies and music.
Well, I want to talk about kind of the band's lineup, and, you know, back in 2016, Chrissy Olsen and Jens Lundgren joined the band, and Just talk about how important, you know, their addition has been when you look at kind of the resurgence of Crazy Licks that started with, you know, Rough Justice back in 2017 to now, to see that this band almost rebuilt itself and has, in my opinion, released the best four albums of your career since then.
Yes,
so talk
yeah.
about the importance of them in this band and kind of the re-recordings. Did you completely re-record the songs on this new album from the old song?
Actually, most of it is old recordings, because and that's the thing that we wanted to quite early on. We decided that we wanted to do like not a proper re-recording, but rather a freshening up of the old stuff. So most of the drums are original. Most of the guitar tracks and almost all of the lead vocals are original as well. So what we added is guitars on top usually. Some of the solos are re-recorded and a lot of the backing vocals, but for most parts the old stuff is still the old stuff, but with a new mix and master, whereas the new songs of course are newly recorded, and the cover songs as well, or the cover song. Speaking of the lineup, I mean, I think in every line of work, stability is pretty important. And what we had earlier, where we had a new lineup for every album that we did up until that point, actually, which is never a good thing, because you know it always, when a member leaves, it kind of gives you that time to, you know, you have to kind of regroup, find new people, find the motivation to do it. And after our self-titled album which we released in 2014, when the two guitarists left, we were actually not certain that we wanted to continue at all, because we were, you know, in a quite a deep, you know, dark place at that moment. So, finding those two guitarists and the fact that we found them so quickly, I think, helped a lot to get us on our feet. And even though it was a time, because we had 3 years between albums there, but then we had the release of Rough Justice, as you said, we had a lucky break with having those three songs in the Friday the 13th game as well, which gave us a real big boost with the younger American audience, I would say. And since then, I agree with you that the quality of the albums and the output that we had since then is, in my opinion, the better one in our career.
Yeah, it's been tremendous. And do you feel it's funny, because people will ask me like, okay, yeah, we know you like Kiss and Motley Crue, but who are some newer bands you like? And I always say, well, Crazy Licks is one of them. And it's funny because you think about it and I'm like, man, I remember going to see like Poison on their reunion tour with Rat in 99. And they were like, you know, our age now. And I was like, oh, you know, those guys are kind of older, you know, but I love it. So you guys are kind of the elder statesmen in a way now. How do you feel how do you feel about that?
I mean, it is strange. I noticed I saw an ad for, it was a guy looking for band members and he wanted to start like a glam sleaze metal band. And in the same kind of sentence, he mentioned like Mötley Crüe and Skid Row and Crazy Licks in the same context. And I was like, wait a second, we're not in the same league as those guys, you know, not in time or in success for that matter. But I think for a lot of the younger people who are into this music, they feel like that's all kind of the same thing, you know, those kind of, you know, late 80s, early 90s, early 2000s, for them it's just like, yeah, the old stuff that we want to play. So being, you know, pushed together in that same group is honoring, of course, but it also makes you, you know, realize that we're not a young band anymore by any means. We've been around for quite a while, and among the young people we're counted as this, you know, roughly the same as those other bands. So it's a strange feeling for sure.
Well, you guys are also at the point where you've released so many good albums, so much good material, that it's got to be hard creating a set list now, because especially with the last few albums, like I said, Rough Justice, Forever Wild, Street Lethal, those three albums back to back to back. And now with Two Shots at Glory, it's like you could create a, you know, 60, 90 minute set list just based on that alone. So how difficult is it to create a set list for like a Monsters of Rock cruise or your tour in South America?
Well, it is quite hard, because there's also the must play songs that we usually have to include in the set. But it was strange. We were going through the set the other day on rehearsal, and I noticed that we only had we're playing different sets on the cruise. So we're two shows and slightly different sets And on one of the sets, we only could fit one song from the Forever Wild album, for example, which is, you know, quite a successful album. But seeing that we kind of have to have some songs from Street Lethal, which is the latest, mm-hmm. you know, studio album. And of course, we have to have some of the songs from this compilation. And suddenly, you know, being able to play 1 hour, which is like standard for Monsters of Rock, you know, having those must-have songs, that's half of the set already. So as you say, it is difficult, but it's also like a luxury problem, to be honest, because it would be worse the other way around if we, you know, didn't have material to fit in. But usually we leave out the first album. We haven't played stuff from the first album in quite a while. And people have been asking me if there is a chance of actually redoing some of the songs from the first album, because that's a question that I got a lot about this compilation, why we didn't include any from the Loud Minority album. And the easy answer is actually that we don't have the tracks from it. I've been talking with Chris Laney about the possibility of actually finding and retrieving them, but those were recorded on digital audio tape, which was the format that you did back then. So we never actually put them on a computer, on a hard drive or anything. So I can't access them. If we find them somehow, because they should be in a like an archive over at Polar Studios where we recorded that album, then maybe we could do something similar. But for now, we usually leave out the tracks from that first album and kind of start from New Religion and onwards when we do the sets. But as you say, some albums, we only manage to have one or two songs from them, actually.
For Crazy Licks, Danny, I always say that what I like about what you guys do is that not only is the music tremendous, the musicianship at an all-time high, but each album kind of puts you into a certain mindset or a mode. There's themes. For Rough Justice, I talked with Jens Lundgren about this too, and Joel as well, that it's almost like the ultimate driving around at night album.
Yeah.
Forever Wild to me was like the ultimate summer album or the ultimate like Top Gun themed album. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Street Lethal was the 80s martial arts kind of theme. Now we see what Two Shots at Glory is. So do you write specifically for that? Do you have this vision in mind, or does it all just kind of come together and then you think about that later? How does that work for you?
I think usually we work from like a loose concept. These aren't like, you know, concept albums by any means, but
right.
You can certainly find some lyrical themes in some of the songs. So even though most of the songs aren't connected to the theme directly, but you have, for example, as you said, on Forever Wild, you have Silent Thunder, of course, and there are references in it in Terminal Velocity, for example, you know, singing about airplane stuff and stuff like that. Same thing with Street Lethal. You have it in, I would say, both in the title track, Street Lethal, and Rise Above, you have references to, you know, fighting, street fighting and stuff like that. So usually we set a theme quite early on, and then we have, you know, some songs moving around that theme. Usually you can see it in some of the music videos as well. But I think it helps with, you know, just having kind of an overarching, you know, idea of what you're going to do. That helps with the creativity when it comes to the image, the clothes, the you know, the album cover later on, and the videos and everything. And I think it all comes from the fact that the last album we did before this lineup, which was the self-titled one, I've always felt like it has strong songs, but it lacks some kind of identity. It's more of a, when I listen to it now, it sounds more like a, you know, compilation album almost, because there's, you know, it's the self-titled, it just has our name on it, it just has the symbol on it. There's not a, you know, clear theme among the songs or anything. So I think that always left me with a bit of a, you know, a bitter aftertaste. I think that album was kind of bland in that sense, even though the songs work themselves. So I wanted to move away from that and have something with more of an identity to them. And since we started working like that, I think the overall, you know, idea of every album is easier to wrap your head around. And it helps with marketing, and it helps with, you know, merch. All of that, you know, comes together easier when you have a theme decided early on.
100%. And it definitely works because it's something that I look into and have kind of analyzed. So you mentioned Shez Kane earlier, Danny. Now, working with her, producing her work, I think she's tremendous. I think she's got, you know, this amazing vocal. She's got an amazing vocalist. Just talk about what it's been like producing her, working with her, her album Power Zone. Absolutely two thumbs up. Just tremendous. What's it been like working with Shez?
Oh, it's very easy. I mean, the first two albums that we've made now, the first album, due to COVID, we had to do like that. We recorded everything remotely. So I did all the instrumentation here. She recorded her vocals herself from the demos. The first time we met was actually during a very brief period where she was able to fly from the UK to record music videos in Sweden. Soon after we were done, they closed it down again. So this was in 2020, I think in September. When we moved around to recording the next album, we kind of liked the process so much, so we did it the same way. I did demos and she recorded everything remotely again. So working like that can be a bit troublesome. And I've heard from a lot of people that they don't get that to work quite well. But I've always felt with Shez that is very easy. You know, it's usually maybe I have like one revision from her, you know, lead vocal takes. I tell her some details, she immediately does it, and you know, the second time around it's perfect. So very easy to work with, and I think the results have come out really great. And you know, for a new artist, I think she's reached quite a high position already, considering the short time that we've had. So we're planning a third album, probably start putting together some songs and demoing some stuff after the summer. So hopefully we'll have another album in 2025 with Shez Kane.
And for you guys, obviously, you know, it seems a little, you know, unfair to get Two Shots of Glory here, which is tremendous. It's available now via Frontiers Music. It is wonderful to be able to go back and to really take in the entirety of the Crazy Licks and lineage with this album. Of course, fans say, well, they get this album. They say, well, Danny, what's next for Crazy Licks? When's the next studio album going to be? And have you started writing for that yet?
Oh yeah. We're far along. We've done the mistake many times where we kind of wait until what album drops before we start working on the next one, but that usually leaves you with a bit of a stressful time. So I would say 90% of the songs are recorded and demoed. Wow. We actually, yeah, today we started doing the first drum takes. So we're on our way, and if everything works out well, I believe we could have a release this year even. So maybe a single release somewhere around summertime, if everything works as planned. But you know, sometimes things don't work out as well. And I think, considering, you know, because when we started thinking about recording and releasing this album, we kind of thought, always consider it to be like a, you know, a compilation, not a real studio album, which it is. So we wanted to use it like a bridge between albums, but we still figured that we can't wait 2 years until the next one. So we always had it in our plans to kind of have a release out, maybe even the same year, or like maximum 12 months after this one. So so that's why we would, you know, working in the background on a studio album. But on the other hand, with the feedback from this album and that we've received, you know, a lot of people see it as a proper release, so to speak. Yeah. So I think that, you know, there's not a huge demand for anything coming soon, but the way we plan it out, we'll probably have releases this year, at least singles and videos, I would say. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful news, Danny. I'll tell you, you know, Crazy Licks has sort of become the ringleaders for this music, you know, for lack of a better term, the term that was coined many years ago was Swedish sleaze. You know, I got into the first band I ever discovered was Crash Diet, and here they are still around. They're doing great. They're having to replace a singer. Heat.
On their fifth one now, right? I heard the other day.
I wasn't going to go there, but yes, I think so, for those keeping track. And so with that being said, you guys released a song called Anthem for America on Street Lethal. And that, to me, that set the standard. And that said, you know what? The best American hard rock music is coming from Sweden. And I've said that for years. And you guys have become the ringleaders for that. I mean, Eric Grönwald, who I think is one of the best singers in the world, has left Heat, and he's with Skid Row, and it's great. But you guys have kind of become that band. You guys have kind of become the flag bearer, and you cross the boundaries between, you know, Scandinavia and America. You become America's great melodic hard rock band, and you're Swedish.
I guess we're giving back, because when I was young in the 80s and 90s, you know, the U.S. was really, honestly, the coolest country in the world, and everything that came from America was just miles ahead from everything we had, you know, when it comes to cartoons and movies and, you know, comic books and everything. I consumed so much American culture. I sometimes say, you know, you guys, you poisoned my mind when I was young, and I'm kind of giving it back now because you've drifted apart from you know, from where you should be, in my opinion.
Right.
So I think it just, you know, it bounces back. And I know this is the fact for a lot of Europeans who grew up in the 80s and 90s. We were so immensely influenced by the American culture, and you know, I can't imagine doing music any other way. I mean, I listen to British bands, of course, and some German bands and Swedish bands, but you know, the American ones have always been the greatest for me. So it all just comes natural, I guess.
Well, Danny, I tell you what, we cannot thank you enough, man. The new album, tremendous. Two Shots at Glory. You can go to crazylicks.com right now to get all the tour dates. Monsters of Rock Cruise coming up, and for the love of God, we've got to get you to America sometime. 2 years ago, you guys were on the bill for Monsters on the Mountain, and due to visa issues, it's always damn visa issues, you weren't able to make it. We've got to get this America thing to happen. Hey, we've got thousands of people coming across our southern border in Mexico every day. Just sneak in like everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I know bands. I know some bands that do this, but I also hear stories of like Loudness, for example, who got caught in this, and they have a very, very hard time playing in the U.S. now, so we kind of don't want to burn our bridges for the future, but I mean, we're working hard on it, and I believe there will come a day when we kind of put together a tour package, maybe some bands together who can like split the cost and everything, and do a proper U.S. tour. I know that you know, Frontiers has it high on their list of to do stuff as well, because they want to break in the U.S. as well with some of their bands. So we're working on it. I would love to, but for now we'll have to settle with the Monsters of Rock, which is also a very, very great festival. So looking forward to it.
It's a great way to do it. Get on a boat, guys. Check it out. Crazy Licks coming around, and if you're in South America as well, always thanks, my friend. Best of luck, continued success here as the tour goes on and the recording of the new album. We can't wait. Danny Rexon, Crazy Licks. Thank you so much, sir. Have a great one.
Thank you. You too.
You great. Bet.